morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'll be sharing this morning's announcements for June 14th, 2026. Sunday school is every Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays will restart on Wednesday, the 24th. 2026 at 5:30 p.m. in person and by Zoom. The doors open at 5 o'clock p.m. Our June announcements. Beginning tomorrow and starting June 15th through the 19th, yeah, our UMBC Vacation Bible School is here. Yeah. It runs from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. every night this week, and there are classes for all ages. So come on out tomorrow at 5:30. June 21st, 2026 is Father's Day. The week of June 22nd through the 26th is the National Baptist Convention Congress of Christian Education. And then June 28, 2026, New Foundation Missionary Church is celebrating their pastor's anniversary Sunday morning. The pastor is Nathan Williams, Jr. The address is 922 West Eureka Street in Champaign, Illinois. Our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams, is the special guest preacher during the morning service. Hopefully you can join. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy church today.
Amen.
Let us come into the house of the Lord. I hope you're glad this morning as I welcome you to our worship experience this morning, because this is the day that the Lord has made. So we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. We not just ought to do it, we should want to do it. I hope something is welling up in you that says, thank you, Lord, for letting me see another day. Thank you, Lord, for all the ways you blessed me. Thank you, Lord, for where you kept me even when I didn't feel like I was blessed. But I'm here. So let us praise God and give him the glory that he is due, because he is our hope in this world. Amen. Amen. Let's give man a clap of praise. I'm going to ask that you stand with me today as we prepare for our opening with the Lord's Prayer. And let us recite in unison the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. If you had to keep standing for just a moment, we're going to have our opening scripture this morning, which will be coming from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 4. And let us also read together. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Union, you know what we got to do. We got to love God and love others. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, and I'm going to turn it over to the praise team.
Thank you.
that message. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. 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 So we're preparing for a time in our service where we're able to give back to the Lord just a portion of what He so richly blessed us with. I would ask that the officers would prepare themselves now as we get ready for the offering. Offertory reading comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 6th chapter, and it reminds us of the bountiful God that we serve. It reminds us that He owns all things, and even the things that we have, we're just stewards in this moment. In that 38th verse, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you." I've read from Luke 6:38. As we prepare our hearts to give, I'm going to ask for you to stand with me if you are able and follow the direction of the ushers. We're going to come into the center aisle as they lead us and bring prayer. I tell you what, how about if we pray first? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to give back to you, O Lord. We pray, O God, that you will bless this offering. We pray that you have put it in our hearts to give cheerfully, Lord God, and not under compulsion. We pray, O Lord, that you will guide the leadership of this blessed church, Lord God, that we may be about your kingdom business, Lord. Guide us in your will by your Holy Spirit, that everything given will be put to good use, dear Father, for your glory. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Please follow the direction of the ushers.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds for prayer. We want to keep those who are on our minds, bereavement, sick, and shut in on the prayer list. We just want to focus in on the power of God. Can we talk just for a few minutes? I know life is busy. I know life has its challenges. But you done showed up to the tabernacle, to the house of prayer. So you can just lay down your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. That schedule that had you tied up this week, them bills that got on your nerves, but you still here. Didn't God bring you through? Did He keep you? As we focus in on Him, those who know it, give me just a little bit of that. What a friend we have in Jesus. Is that all right? Anybody knows that He's a friend? All our sins and griefs to bear. Let us focus in. Let's focus in on our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you can help us lift that. What a friend we have in Jesus. A friend we have may stand at this time. Those who desire to come to the altar, you may come to the altar. If you desire to come. Those who desire to come to the altar, you may come to the altar this evening. To care and be. Heavenly Father, it's we, O Lord. It's we, O Lord, who are standing in the need of prayer. Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for the breath that we have in our lungs. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to breathe in and breathe out. Lord, we thank you that last night we was able to sleep. Even some of us who was restless, we was able to wake up this morning. Give your name the glory, honor, and the praise. Lord, thank you. Thank you for touching us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for sustaining us. And Lord, as we come today, we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, if you find anything that should not be, we ask that you just take it away from us right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we know that the economy is being strained because of high grocery bills and high gas bills and high clothing. But Lord, you kept us when the prices were lower than what they are now. And Lord, we're going to keep on depending on you because it's not about money. It's not about the things here on earth. But Lord, it's about giving you the glory and trusting that you supply all of our needs. So, Lord, we're not going to be worried. We're not going to be depressed. We're going to keep on stepping in faith, knowing that you are keeping our hand. Lord, there's some of us, Lord, that we doubt you. Lord, we just be honest. Some of us, we have our doubts. But, Lord, we're still going to keep our hand in your hand. And as we doubt, Lord, we need you to squeeze our hand right now. Because, Lord, we need to feel you. Talk to us, sweet Holy Spirit. Let us know that you're least in the building. So Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us right now. Lord, those who are sick, those who are weak, those who are dealing with mental issues, physical issues, occupational issues, all of us dealing with issues, Lord, bless us right now. And as we come to lift up your name on high, those who need a deliverance, provide deliverance. Those who need healing, provide healing. Those who need a way, give us a way, because blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hear our prayer, Lord. Hear our groans. Hear our moans. And answer them according to your will and your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord. Thank you. Amen. We thank you for our music ministry. We thank those of our music ministry. We thank God for each and every one of you who have been able to come out on today. Amen. 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 If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. This week, this upcoming week, Monday through Friday, we will be having a vacation Bible school, and it will start at 5 o'clock. Amen. It will start at 5 o'clock. We will be having our vacation Bible school Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock here at Union Missionary Baptist Church, 509 West Jackson Street. We'll be having vacation Bible school here. Amen. Amen. Those who are able, please come on out to our vacation Bible school this week. Is it just me? But time is really flying, isn't it? Amen. It is middle June already. Amen. Amen. 4th of July is on his way. Amen. Time is just flying and moving. But God has blessed us. There's been some storms and some trees fall, but we're still here. And let's give God a hand clap of praise for still here. Amen. Amen. Anybody in the still here category? We still here. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles on today, I want to share a word with you, literally one word with you, and that word is motives. Motives. If you have your Bibles, Colossians, that's New Testament, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we will be looking at verse 23. Colossians 3, we'll be looking at verse 23. Amen. As you are turning to that and finding that, Colossians chapter 3, and we are talking about motives, do things a little bit different on today. Want to talk about a theme, a topic, motives. And as you do that, Jesus is the answer for the world. Lift that up, my brother. Lift that up, my sister. Oh,
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other.
Jesus
is the way.
Chapter 3. Those who are able, if you please stand, Colossians chapter 3, and if you can look there, verse 17, key verse would be 23. I'm going to stop at 23. And actually, I want to start at 15. I want to start at 15. You with me? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 reads as follows: And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands that it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. And fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. I done made it to where I'm going to park. Verse 23, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Verse 23, King James Version says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 24, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord. Can I talk just a few minutes? I want to talk about motives. I want to talk about this one word, motives. I'm reminded in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, where Jesus was contemplating, he was thinking about his spiritual task to go to the cross and be crucified for you and for me. I can only imagine that he was examining the physical anguish he would be going through, and pain and the stripes, and also the mental anguish. He knew what was ahead, and in his flesh he had to stop and think about that. And as he thought about that, he said, Lord, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, watch this, not my will, but thine be done. And the angels of the Lord came and strengthened him. And this is a little nugget for us, that we are here because of the will of God. God has a plan for us according to his will and his way and our motives. Why are we here? Our purpose, why are we here, is to fulfill the will that God has for us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, and I mean, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. King James Version says it this way, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Talks about motives. Why do we do what we do? Why are we here? The Christian life is not only about what we do, but watch this, my brother. Watch this, my sister. It's not about what we do, but it's why we do it. Why are we here? Why did you wake up this morning and come to church? Why do you speak to your brother and sister? Why do you read the Bible? Why? I can tell you why. For me, I'm here because of God's grace that was shown to me through Jesus Christ. And I come here in this house to strengthen that. But I've given my life to the Lord first before I do anything else. So my motive is to grow in the Lord. The Christian life is not about what we do. Going to church is a what. But why do we do it? Why are you here? Motive is the hidden engine, that little get up and going, that engine that could, behind the obedience, behind the service, the work and the worship. What I'm trying to say is our motives hold up our obedience. Our motives hold up our service. Our motives, why we do what we do, hold up our work, hold up our worship. I'm not here to be seen. I'm here to serve. Why? Because my motive is to fulfill the will of God. I'll be honest with you. Them crappie was hitting yesterday. I found a nice little ledge down there under the railroad track that had fallen in several years ago. And if I didn't have the call, that's where I'd be right now with my little hat there, hitting them fish, doing something else like somebody else is. But because of the call, help me somebody. Because of the call, the Lord has laid it in my heart that somebody needs to hear a word today. My call is not your call, and your call is not my call, but my motive is to fulfill the task in which God has assigned me. I'm not here because I bought a new suit and I want everybody to see it and say it look good on you. I'm not here because I just got a new car and I want to hear the church folks say, ooh, the Lord is blessing you with a new car. I'm come here to lift up the name of Jesus, because if he doesn't do anything else, he's already done. He's already done enough. And here, y'all let me work just a little bit. Y'all give me a little time. I got to work today. Got to work. Paul is teaching disciples and believers that everything we do, every task, whether great or small, should be done with a higher aim, the Lord himself. It's not just to get something done, but it's to lift up the name of Jesus. It's to honor Christ for what he's done. And many people can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. On the surface, it can look right, but the heart is not right. The heart is not in it. A believer is called to live differently, not just change the tire, but change the tire because you see somebody genuinely needed help and assistance, not change the tire with selfish motives, trying to get somebody's name, trying to help somebody out, trying to get a number. Come on, somebody. What is your motive? Why do you do what you do? And many people, human beings, do what appears to be the right thing, but if you check the heart, it's the wrong reason. A believer is called to go about and approach things differently. In your working, it should be working to glorify God. Wherever you are, in your serving, it should be serving to glorify God. In your obeying, with a heart fixed on Christ and the purpose of Christ. As Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, had a nevertheless spirit, we have to have the same motive. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Can I tell you something? I don't mean no harm, but God is not only interested in your outward actions and what you do. He is concerned with your inner motive. He's concerned about why you do what you do. Paul gives us one great principle in this verse, and from it, I'm just going to work and squeeze verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And NIV, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Paul gives us this principle, and from it we can see three to four motives that should shape our Christian lives. Three or four reasons as why we do what we do. First thing is we need to look at our Christian duty, what our Christian duty is. And the first thing it says is whatever you do. Whatever you do, Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do. You're going to catch up with me in about 3.5 seconds. It says, whatever you do. You see that in your Bible, on your Bible app? It says, whatever you do. What does that mean? Whatever you do. The verse covers all of life. Whatever you do. Not just religious activities. It includes work. It includes service. It includes family. It includes duties. It includes church responsibilities. Even the stuff that go on in the closet, out the closet, our private conduct under the bed, around the bed. Whatever we're doing, the scope of our Christian duty, whatever you do, it covers it all. When you speak, that covers that. When you don't speak, it covers that. When you help, it covers that. When you don't help, it covers that. When you are silent, it covers that. When you are not silent, whatever you do, not just religious activities, not just coming to church, not just being on the usher board, not just being in the choir, not just being a part of this, whatever you do includes all. Can I tell you, I'm not talking about nobody. I talk about me. I'm not just a Christian on Sundays, 10:15 to 11:45. I've been called to my Christian responsibility in all aspects of my life. As I read, as a husband, I have to love my wife. As a father, I have to discipline my children in a way where they will love me, not hate me. In every aspect of my life, I have to respect those who have authority in the things I do. I have to respect that in every aspect. You read that earlier that I read. In every aspect of our lives, our motives have to be about Christ. And a Christian duty. There is no division between spiritual and ordinary life for the Christian. There's no division. It's not just a Christian life when I'm in this building. not just a Christian life when you speak to me and, hey, pastor, hey, reverend. It's not just a Christian life. Then the Christian life is wherever you are. If you're in a grocery store, you ought to have that Christian life. If you're out with the kids, you ought to have that Christian life. When the ump, ref, whatever sport you're playing didn't give your kid the call, you need to show your Christianity. When you're waiting in a line and they didn't get that order right and you've been waiting too long, and I'm with you, they that got you waiting too long, you ought to show your Christianity. Somebody didn't speak to you right, called you out your name. Your Christianity needs to show up, because what's your motive? To represent Christ and do what you need to do for the kingdom. Oh, amen. Come on, somebody. There's no difference between the spiritual and the ordinary. Your motives are the same in any aspect of your life. When exploring motives from a biblical perspective, motives ask not just what did I do. They just don't ask what did I do. From a biblical perspective, motives don't just ask what did I do, but they ask why did I do it? Not what did I do, but why did I do it? There's a little example when I was coming up. There's a little old greenhouse on the way to church, and I would be sent with the task to go to Sunday school, and I was given then 50 cents to put into offering for Sunday school. And that 50 cents didn't make it. Stopped by the candy store. The purpose was to put it in Sunday school to train me up to give what giving is for the Lord. After a couple of times, a phone call was made. Mother found out that I was not delivering the 50 cents for offering. And she gave me some physical love as a result of that. But as time went on, I was doing it because I didn't want a whooping or to be chastised from my mama. But because I stayed there in Sunday school and heard and engaged the word of God, I learned what the true motive and reason for me of having that 50 cents was. It was to give unto the Lord and be a good steward over what he has blessed me with. My motive changed. I was selfish because I was starting off. I was just going to church, but then the church got in me and I realized why I had to give that 50 cents. Because I needed to be a good steward over what God has given me. So as we explore, we need to ask ourselves the question, not what did I do, but why did I do it? Scripture teaches that God weighs the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Check out 1 Samuel chapter 16, when the prophet is looking for who to anoint and David is anointed. But when it all started, the one who looked good, who was tall and handsome and looked ready for battle, that was the one through the naked eye they thought was the one who needed to do it. But as a look at, God had to tell the prophet, man looks on the outward appearance, the countenance, but the Lord looks on the heart. That means even good works can be poisoned by pride. Even good works can be poisoned by approval seeking. Even good works can be poisoned by fear. Even good works can be poisoned by self-exaltation. Even good works can be poisoned by self-agenda. By being humble and being obedient, we need to realize that it's not for our glory, it's not about us, but it's for the glory of God and what pleases him. Can I tell you the truth? God examines the why. God examines our motives. Proverbs 16:2 says, the Lord weighs the spirit. Pure motives matter in worship and in service. I can tell you, I love the church that had a little organ, little drum, boom, 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 boom. I love it when the choir sang a song. That may get me started coming to church, but I ought to grow out of that. That should be a part of my worship. That shouldn't be the reason why I'm worshiping. I should grow to the point where I'm a disciple and I know that God has kept me and sustained me. So it really does not matter what the choir is singing. It does not matter if somebody speaks to me or not. It does not matter all of this stuff around me, because I didn't come for people. I didn't come to be entertained. I came because God has been good to me and Satan has been attacking me and I've been empty, because y'all saw me last week. But there's been some stuff going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I got a little bit on Wednesday, but I had to come to church to get filled with a word from the Lord. I may start off coming because I got some family over there. I may start off coming for other reasons, but I ought to develop and grow with the right motives and be here because I'm saved and I need to grow and be filled by the word of God. Here, in our reading, Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it calls us to work for the Lord, not for men. Mixed motives are common. Having mixed motives, mixed opinions, perspectives is common. Philippians 1, 15 through 18 shows some preach Christ from selfish ambition, yet Christ was still proclaimed. The goal is God's glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you look at that and go down there to the end of there, is the test. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If you want to check your motives and why you do what you do, this is the test. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, this is the test. Whatever you do, do all to the what? Glory of God. Somebody missed it. If you want a test, if you were here and doing the right thing in God's eyes, this is the test. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Oh, you missed it over there. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So God gets the glory. So it's not about me. I don't need no pat on the back. I don't need no plaque. I don't need anything, because one day I'm going to get what I need. I'm going to stand in line, wait for God to look at me and say, servant, well done. That plaque going to get dust on it. Plaque going to be thrown away. Kids going to throw it away when I'm done here. But when I see my Savior face to face, I want him to say, whatever you did it to glorify me. That's the test. Can I ask you a question? It's just you and me. Can I ask you a question? Are you doing this to be seen by others? Are you here for attendance? So somebody can see you? Are you here so somebody can acknowledge you? Why are you here? Are you doing this to be seen by others? It's one of the Lord's sharpest questions that he has for us. Are you doing this so I can be glorified? Are you doing whatever you're doing to be seen and acknowledged? The Bible said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. That's what the Bible said. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. That's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Why do I bring that up? Is, do you want the reward from man? And the scripture teaches us that if you are doing it for the applause, when you receive the applause, that's your reward. The Bible said that. Now, UD Williams, when if you're looking for a pat on the back, you want somebody to acknowledge how smart you are, how organized you are, how such and such you are. As soon as they acknowledge you because you did it for that, that's your reward. They said, go ahead with your bad self. I can tell that you went to ISU, Illinois Western. Go ahead with your degree. That's your reward. But if you're doing it out of the right motives, God will reward you. So the question is, do you want to be rewarded by people's compliments, or do you want to be rewarded by God's grace and mercy and blessings? I'll be honest with you. I got a wife. She's good to me. I got 3 children. I love them to pieces. And they are part of the reason why I try to do right is because I know the Lord is blessing me, but he knows they belong to me, so he'll bless them too. So the stuff I do, I don't have to get a pat on the back. I don't have to do stuff because the Lord knows what I've done and the Lord knows the sacrifices that I made. And he's the only one that needs to know, but he'll pour out blessings, not just on me, but on my household too. My son was coming home. I said, nobody but the Lord. He was coming home and he said, Daddy, you better be careful out there on that highway. There's trees down everywhere. I said, where are you? He said, I'm at home. I said, praise God, the trees didn't fall on you. God didn't have to do it, but he did. He kept me, but I know he'll keep my children. He's rewarded. And even if he doesn't, I know he's able. Jesus warns that religious acts can be poisoned by our desire for human approval in many different ways. And when that is the motive, if you want the applause of people, it becomes only a reward to be received and not a blessing and grace from God. Scripture teaches that the Father who sees in secret is the one who prays matters most. We should ask, who am I trying to please right now? And sometimes it's not trying to just please other folk. We want to please ourselves and say, look what I did. I was a part of that. Yeah. Well, if you want to be a part of stuff, get on there on the cross like Jesus did. Let him pierce you in the side and put a thorn, a crown on your head if you really want to be a part of it. Who am I trying to please? Would I still do this if no one noticed? Would I still do this if nobody sees? And I'm not picking and choosing. I'm talking about in everything. Am I seeking God's glory or my own reputation or my own agenda? Because I want to see this done around here. So look what I did. And I did talk to so-and-so and I made it happen. True religion is not about the level of performance, but authenticity and sincerity. Flowing from a regenerated heart. Why do you do what you do? The first point I was saying is the scope. I know I'm working. Y'all work with me. I'm getting a little deep today, but I want to help somebody. Is if all of life falls under this command that we need to look and see what's going on in Colossians 23 verse and chapter 3, whatever you do, then the next thing is then the question becomes not merely what we do, but how we do it. Not just why, but how do we do what we do? The spirit of Christian service. Do it heartily is what the King James Version says. Isn't that what it says? It says do it, and it describes how we're to do it. Do it heartily. The NIV says work at it with all your heart. You got to put your heart in it. You just don't go through the motions for the Lord. You got to put your heart into it. You have to be because you have the right heart. The word heartily speaks to sincerity and zeal and the whole-souled effort. Christian duty is not to be done half-heartedly. Your work for the Lord, you don't have a small size, a medium size, a large size, a super size. It's one size. Your all. You can't do it lazily, merely out of habit. What I tell my kids, my own biological children, you don't always get a second chance, so you better give it your all while you have a chance. God deserves more than outward compliance. He deserves inward devotion. He deserves your all. Can I get in your business? Has God kept you? Has God sustained you in spite of the mess that you've been through, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the heartaches, the midnight hours, all the stuff that life has thrown at you? You can still testify, I'm still here. Then there's no reason to give God a quarter of you or a half of you or 50%, 55, 75. You need to give God your all. That's what it means. I can't be lazy. God deserves more than just outward compliance. He deserves all. Can I ask you another question under this? Do it heartily. The spirit of Christian service is, am I trying to control outcomes instead of obeying God? Am I trying to control what happens? You want to see it work out this way. What is your motive? Are you trying to control how it's going to turn out? You know what? I've been walking with the Lord long enough. I've discovered to sit down and be quiet and watch God do what God's going to do. God's going to do it his way. I may walk in and think there's four quarters. He may add overtime. He may add another game. God that we serve, he does it his way, not our way. Am I the only one that has walked with the Lord and you see God just change the script mid-script? He just changed it. You thought you was going to be here and there, but God flipped it around and put you. The question exposes the heart. Who do you trust? What is your motives? Scripture teaches that obedience is ours. Obedience belongs to us, but the outcome of our obedience doesn't belong to us. The outcome of our obedience belongs to the Lord. What we do by obeying, that's what we can do. But the outcome and the result, that's up to God. Whatever he wants to do, because we've been obedient, go ahead, God, with your bad self. Scripture teaches that obedience is what we are tasked to do. The Lord controls the outcome. Help me, somebody. Help me, somebody. Trust in the Lord. You know it. With all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And the Bible says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what shall happen? He shall what? Direct your path. So my job is to trust. Your job is to trust. Who's going to do the directing? God is going to direct it. Who's going to control the outcome? God is controlling the outcome. My job is to just trust and obey. But this is the problem. When we cling to control, sometimes you want to call it wisdom. I'm just being wise, but really is control. Well, you know, I'm just a good planner. We need to make sure that everything is lined up, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. No, you're trying to control this thing. Well, I'm just trying to be responsible about what I do. No, you're trying to control what's going to happen and who's going to do it. Now, I'm not saying structure and order should be thrown out, but it shouldn't be so tight that God can't get in there. But it can actually be fear or lack of trust in disguise. True obedience means like Abram was told. He said, Lord said to him, remember that? In Genesis, he said, get up and go to a place, I'm paraphrasing, where I tell you to go. The Bible records that he got up and he went. He didn't ask questions. He didn't plan. He went where God told him to go. True obedience means you do what God has made clear for you to do today. You're not worried about tomorrow, because who holds tomorrow? God holds tomorrow. Somebody looking at me funny, so let me just tell you what the Lord said. But seek ye first. But seek ye first his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does it say? All these things shall be added unto you. Then it says right there, that's verse 33. That's verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6. But verse 34 says, therefore, because of this, don't you worry about tomorrow, for what's going to happen with tomorrow. Yeah, it'll worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You let tomorrow take care of tomorrow and let God take care of you today. After all, Matthew 6:33 says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life, is what the Bible says. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say this, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. It's according to God's will. It's according to his outcome. Even James lets us know that. And the believer lives by faith before the Lord, not by manipulating and trying to control the results. Can I tell you this? You ought to live by whatever the Lord has for you. He has for you. Don't try to make the outcome. My prayer is this, and I learned this. I'm not saying that I woke up and I instantly got it. I said, Lord, you let me know what you want me to do, and I'm there. I'm not making any orders. I don't have any preferences. My request is your will be done. And you know what? God take care of me. Not only my needs, but I got a whole lot of wants too that the Lord has given me. I'm moving right along, but another question under this second one is the spirit of Christian service. Do it heartily. That's what it says. You need to give it all, but need to ask another question. I hope I'm challenging somebody. You need to ask this question to yourself. Am I serving from love or am I serving from control? Scripture teaches that the Lord does not delight in strained or anxious service trying to figure it out, but in obedience that flows from the heart that loves him. Am I trying to control this thing? Do I need the answers because I want control? Do I want the answers because I need to see it? The Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, if you just do what I tell you to do. John 14 and 15, everything, oh, I got to get back to this hotel. Everything going to be all right. The love of Christ is what controls us. We don't control anything. If you think you're in control, say right now, rain. If you think you're in control, say, I want it 95 degrees. But I know somebody who's able to do it. God is able to do it. In fact, he could tell it to rain, and with his bad self, he could tell it to stop raining. He's in control. Don't be fearful about how things work out. You don't need to be in control because God is on the ship with you, and he could tell the storm to stop. And if he doesn't, it's because you need to be in that storm. A servant driven by uncertainty is always trying to earn what God has already given in Christ. A servant driven by love is responding to grace that has already been given and provided, it's already been received. Our works are works. What we do does not save us, but they do show whether grace has truly laid a hold of us. What we have, we don't deserve it. Even the breath that we have, we just don't deserve it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is from the gift of God. Not by works, that you may boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. That's Ephesians chapter 2, around that verse 8. Last point. The master of the Christian life. If you look at verse 23, it says, as to the Lord. You see that? King James says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. Who controls this thing? The Lord. The believer's ultimate audience who's watching is the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the audience. He is the one who watches. We are not living for the approval of men, but for the pleasure of Christ. The truth changes everything about our motives when we realize it's about God, not about us. Now, can I say something? And somebody going to catch this on wherever you're about to go. As many times we put the Lord in stuff and the Lord had nothing to do with it. Well, I'm just doing the Lord's work. No, you're doing your good idea. That's what you're doing. You're trying to get your idea done. That's what you're trying to do. Don't say that it's the Lord's work because it's not the Lord's work. It's your work that you're trying to accomplish. It was your good idea. Don't put the Lord in some stuff that he had nothing to do with. You just wanted this and thought it was a good idea, and you did it because you wanted to do it. And then want to bring God in it and say, well, the Lord will work it out. No, you need to work it out because you left the Lord out of it. The audience is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we want to say, well, I'm not worried about what folk going to do. What God is going to do, he's going to bless and he's going to make it work. He's going to make his plan work. Your plan is your plan. And he'll look at you and say, work your plan. But I'm going to go ahead and do my plan. So you need to ask yourself, if the master of the Christian life is as to the Lord is the master, you need to ask yourself this question. Would I still do this if no one noticed? If no one noticed, would I still sing? If nobody noticed, would I still play? Nobody noticed what I still preach. If I show up to the class and there's no students, will I still teach? Help me, somebody. It's 10:15. It's 9 o'clock. Sunday school. And you show up and ain't nobody there. You know what U.D. Williams will do? Open up with scripture and prayer. And I'll teach them chairs. Why? Because God has called me to teach. He's called me to share. And the God I serve while I'm teaching, somebody gonna hear. And come on in. Somebody catch me. Are you here for the applause of students? Are you there because you want to show off your reading and arithmetic and what you done studied? Are you here to help somebody along the way? If nobody knows what you are doing, would you still do it? This question exposes the difference between man-pleasing and God-pleasing, self-pleasing and God-pleasing. Scripture says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, not for humankind. You are included that. Are you doing it for you to satisfy some of your motives, some of your reasons, your self-esteem? Are you doing it to lift up God? Jesus warns against doing good to be seen by others in Matthew 6 and 1. Even in this text, 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, not for the pleasing men. Why? Because is your obedience what you're doing rooted in the love for Christ? Do you serve only when recognition or you can recognize yourself? Do you serve when it only is a benefit or something you want to do? You know what? I love my children, but some stuff I don't like doing. I got to do, but it's raining outside and they're out there playing soccer. I don't want to be out there in the rain. Help me, somebody. I don't want to do it, but because I'm a parent, that's a part of the task. That's a part of the job. We got to put on that raincoat and we need to get on out there without an umbrella and we need to support. We may not want to do it, but we do it because it's a part of what we've been called to do. Are you only going to do the stuff you want to do? Are you going to do what the Lord has called you to do? So do I serve only when there's recognition or attention that I want? True faith does not need an applause. It seeks the Father who sees us in secret. It seeks the Father who sees us in secret and rewards openly in his time, not in our time. So I've shared with you these things about motives. And I know I may dug a little bit deeper than I normally do, but we need to talk about why are we here. Why are we here? And a simple question is, we hear because Paul is not saying we should ignore people. He is saying we must not live for their praise. The fear of man is a great snare. The opinion of others is a great snare. But the fear of the Lord brings us freedom to do what we need to do for the Lord. Colossians 3:23, as I close, calls believers to examine their motives. Calls all of us to examine why do we do what we do. When Christ is the reason why we're here, when Christ is our motive, even ordinary work becomes sacred. When he is the audience, when we are doing it because we know God is watching and God is being pleased, service becomes worship. If it's taking out the trash, you take out the trash to worship your God. If it's cleaning the floor, you clean the floor in worship of your God. If it's sitting late, long hours, you sit there late, long hours. It's not about your comfort zone. It's about pleasing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it to glorify God. When he is our audience, that changes the program. And when he is our reward, faithfulness is never wasted. Motives and accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Scripture teaches that God looks not only at what we do, but at why we do what we do. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Where is your heart? Many people want the benefits of Christ. They want the blessings of God, but they don't want the correction of God. Many people want the benefits of Christ, but they don't want to work for God's peace. They want the forgiveness. They want heaven. But Christ himself calls us to come with a repentant heart. That means there needs to be change. You need to believe in him as your Lord and Savior. You just can't attend church. You have to have the church change you. And who is the church? Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Why am I coming to Jesus? Is it only for relief from trouble? Is that the only time you call on Jesus? Is when everything is falling apart? You got challenges? You know what? I need Jesus in the good times and the bad times. And I've noticed if I have a daily dose of Jesus, when the trouble comes, it don't affect me as much. Because I got no depression here. No worry here. It may be a tier, but that's about all you're going to get, because I know my God is able. I know that he's sitting on the throne. I know that Jesus on the right hand of the Father, he's my advocate. He's speaking on my... So it may sting, but I can keep on moving. It don't sting as much because I know who is on my side. Are you trusting in your own goodness or in Christ alone? Do you want Jesus to save you from your sin or merely just improve your life? You want that. You want that new job. You want that new position. After all, the paycheck will be a little bigger. Is that why you're here? Is that why you talk to the Lord? What are you trying to get relief from? Are you really trying to be saved from sin? Scripture teaches that salvation is by grace through faith, not by works. We do not earn Christ. We receive Christ. True saving faith is a repentive faith, meaning, Lord, I am a sinner. I need your grace. An inward turning from sin and self and turning to Jesus and asking Jesus to lead the way, who died for our sins and he rose again. The gospel calls for repentance and faith, not mere religious interest, not just attending, not just participating, but an inner change should be the motives. If your motives are mixed, bring them to the Lord and be honest and say, Lord, I'm mixed up here. I got a little self and I got a little you, but I need all of you. Help me. And can I tell you today, I know that God is able. I know he's able to help each and every one of us. You ought to tell the Lord, Lord, I confess that my heart is divided. I don't always think right. I don't always do right. But change me, Lord. Purify me. Purify my motives. I need you to change my why. I do not want only your gifts. I do not only want you to bring me out of my trouble, but I want you to keep me in my trouble, and I want you to save me. I want you and you alone. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. Knowing that Jesus died for my sins and your sins, and he rose from the dead, and say, I trust that power. Do you know that Jesus died? That Jesus died on Calvary for you and for me? That's why I'm here, because he loved me when I didn't love myself. He loved me right there on Calvary's cross when he allowed himself to be stretched out there on that cross for you and for me. That's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you want a love story, check out Jesus' story. He loved you so much that he allowed himself to be the atonement, the replacement for your sins, so you don't have to worry about the effect of your sins and your wayward thinking. You can just depend on Jesus and he will lead you and guide you to salvation and right relationship with God. But he didn't just stay there on the cross. He died, church. And they placed his dead body in the tomb. But because of the power of God, he got up, resurrection power for you and for me. And that's why I'm here. I said all that to say this. I'm here because of the resurrection power. I'm here because of God's power that was able to get Jesus up from the dead. I'm here because of God's power. So y'all excuse me if sometimes I walk by you. You know why? Because it's not about you. You excuse me if I don't do all the proper social norms, because I'm focusing in on who God is. Y'all excuse me if I don't always show up and do this and do that, because it's not about you. It's about God. I'm going to give you my tenth, my time, my talent, my treasure. I'm going to give you that, but I'm still going to give God my all. Why? Because he gave me his all on Calvary. He died for me, and we're here because of God's power. We're not here to be seen. We're not here to entertain. We're not here for selfish reasons. We're here because of God's power. The church said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Is there anybody here got that testimony talking about God's power? If it had not been for the Lord on your side, you don't know where you would be. But I can tell you, I'll be somebody's hospital crazy. I'll be in somebody's cemetery dead. But thank you, Lord. His grace and mercy saw fit. So why are you here? What is your motive? What is your purpose for being here? And it should be because you're receiving the power of God. What he could do through Jesus Christ, and that save your soul and nurture your walk, your righteous walk with God. Is there one on today? You can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Receive him in your heart, and he will lead and guide your motives, your why. Is there one that does not have a church home, and you would like this to be your church home? If you give your life to Jesus Christ, you'll be a candidate for baptism. If you come on your Christian experience, you come from no church, you come by letter of Christian experience. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister, as we stand right now? Is there one? Is there one on today? You'd like to give your heart and your life to Jesus? Is there one that does not have church home, but you would like to come and connect with this body of believers? Is there one on today? Is there one? Give your heart and life to Jesus. Is there one?
We offer Christ.
Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister?
Oh, my brother.
Is there one? Is there one?
We
give your life to Jesus. You have mixed motives. Give your life to Jesus. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Is there one? Is there one?
He will give you brand new life.
You already have your Christian experience. Is there one?
New
is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister?
Oh,
is there one? Is there one?
Come on.
We see there are none, but still there's room in the kingdom of God. Examine your motives. Examine your why you are here. You should be here because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, lifting him up and making him the focus. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. We lift you up. We know that you care for us. Search our heart, search our mind. Allow our motives to be pure, so we can enjoy and receive you and have right relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Let us all say together, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Go with God, go in peace.